Mainstream Media and The Left Show present Batshit Crazy with Jason Williams. A weekly look at the most outrageous, wacky, backwards, twisted, and goofy political news of the week you thought you'd left behind. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your pseudo-celebrity commentator, Jason Williams.
These are the states filing for secession. More than half of them are southern states. Does it look familiar? Well, it should. This is the map of the historic South. Interestingly enough, with the exception of the Virginias, every single state that was in the Confederacy is now on board with this petition. And ironically, these are some of the very same states plagued with institutionalized racism to this very day.
Where do you get most of your news?
You can't get it in the media because they're part of the problem.
So where do you get it?
From my neighbor. He gets it off the computer.
Welcome to Batshit Crazy. I'm Jason Williams. And this week, I bring you a special extended edition of Batshit Crazy in celebration of the holiday. This has become a sort of a tradition here on The Left Show to, let's call it, unskew the Thanksgiving holiday. Over the Thanksgiving holiday, many of you will be sitting down with your families to enjoy food and conversation. And if you're here in Utah, most likely that conversation, if it should turn to politics, will turn to conservative politics and, you know, the stuff that you hear from conservatives. So in the interest of familial respect and keeping the nation out of a coma, I thought it'd be great to, as I did last year, just kind of set you up with some mental ammo, if you will, to go into these conversations with. And I've got a lot of help this year. It's almost as if, and this is just a wild idea I'm going to throw out there for you to consider, it's almost as if there has been so much batshit insanity over the last few years that fact-checking and crazy debunking and conspiracy pointing at and laughing has become one of the fastest growing industries in the country. Almost as if that's the case. It's almost as if we have heard so much bullshit from Republicans over the last 4 years that an entire profession has erupted. And interestingly enough, none of these people will come out and just call themselves, you know, Republican fact checkers or have websites titled debunking the latest Republican BS or, you know, they always have to call themselves things like, you know, factcheck.org or Truth in Politics, or the Washington Post has a much longer name for their fact checking column. Google even has the Truth Goggles. And now something new on the scene is this was brought to my attention via the Neiman Lab staff, via the Neiman Lab blog. And it's called Lazy Truth. And this is particularly useful for all of you who, as I explained in the beginning, are headed into a family Thanksgiving dinner event and the conversations that inevitably come up. As we all know here in Utah, the majority of the information that goes around from your loudmouth neighbor who mistakenly believes he heard you ask him what his beliefs were or what his opinion on a current issue was, to, you know, that uncle that everyone has that just wants to tell you how much he's learned that you haven't on why Barack Obama is a secret Muslim socialist, just like they were saying 4 years ago, and is going to kill us all. It translates here in Utah even up to our legislature. Not that long ago, we had a state senator actually post a well-written, if I may say so myself, a well-written bullet point list of all of the flaws in the American Affordable Care Act, all of the reasons that this wouldn't work and that it was going to undermine business and destroy America. And what he didn't tell everyone is that this was something he'd plucked from an email chain that some moron had forwarded to him. When we pointed that out, to the credit of the Utah State Senate, we were allowed to post. Several of us were able to put together and post a fact checking of that, if you will. And the senator later quasi apologized for posting a chain email. Now, if you think that was the end of Utah state lawmakers getting their information from chain emails, or sadly, federal lawmakers who happen to have an R before or after their name, depending on the media organization they're being reported on in, if you think they aren't getting their information, look at this last election. This is the only explanation anyone needs to justify the concern that at the from the federal to the state level, we may be at risk of being surrounded by some really, really, really stupid Republicans. And this election showed that from stories we've seen now of not only, you know, morons at Red State and Town Hall buying it, but the Romney campaign themselves buying this unskewedpolling.com idiot's idea that every single pollster had got it wrong, but he got it right. So, you know, interestingly enough, we've seen that the Republican Party in 2012 died an electoral death at its own hand. And it was created by their own ability to create their own self-reinforcing narrative that the media rarely challenges. And it eventually begins defining the way in which we talk about everything from tax cuts to women's health care choices. The Democrats have at least begun the process in 2012 of stealing that back from them. Democrats being Democrats will take far too long to finalize this process and running a risk every single month of losing the chance to redefine the narrative on how we talk about everything from tax cuts to women's health care choices, because they're Democrats and that's what Democrats do. And that's part of what we're going to talk about here today. But I digress as usual. To stay focused, starting off here, we're going to talk about fact checking and debunking some of these email chains going around after the election that you may be forced to hear about from relatives over the Thanksgiving holiday. And again, the new tool I mentioned was called Lazy Truth. Now, for geeks out there, it's a Chrome extension. It's an add-on to the Google Chrome browser that basically, as you're going through your Gmail, looks for familiar threads in email subjects and compares them with a database of debunked chain emails. And it lets you know if you've just received one that is from a BS. Now, for a lot of us, it would be easy enough just to say, and we would probably get it right 99.5% of the time. For a lot of us, if you just know it's coming from a Republican, this is what I do. If it comes from a Republican, I usually say, "Nah, bullshit," and delete it. Sometimes I read it if I'm, you know, if it's been a little slow day at the comedy blogs that I also subscribe to via the RSS reader. But usually I just, you know, and I'm just kidding. I have many Republican friends and I don't mean to diss you. I read every single one of your emails and few of you are batshit insane these days, but still far too many of you are. And that's what we're trying to change here at The Left Show overall. It's the purpose, if it is, if there is going to be one of The Left Show, is to, you know, make a smarter electorate and also a much more highly entertained electorate. So continuing in that thread, we point things out to you like factcheck.org's, like lazytruth.org's new Chrome extension. An easy way to defeat the chain email BS that has become too often a part of Republican discussions throughout the country. And again, if you live here in Utah, most likely this is going to come up for you in the next couple of days. Now, that's the funny side of this. The not so funny side of this, but still kind of funny, because of course we're talking about Republicans and they just lost the election really, really bad. In fact, Alan West is still losing the election, which is extremely fulfilling. If you haven't been watching that, Alan West refuses to concede in Florida, arguably one of the craziest Republicans ever elected to the United States Congress. And that's saying a lot. He refuses to concede, even though every recount shows his opponent further ahead. He just keeps losing and losing and losing. It's kind of fun, really. But so we've talked about the Lazy Truth button, and we've talked about the industry that fact-checking has become, simply, literally, almost, at the hands of Republicans, and the electoral ass-whooping the Republicans just received on November 6th. Tie all of this together, and let's talk about, again, the less funny, but still kind of funny, side of these chain emails. But it's not just chain emails. It's an entire repeating cycle of a few different things. Confirmation bias, which we all suffer from, to be fair. Every single one of us suffers from confirmation bias. And that allows us to, without noticing ourselves doing it, seek out and remember more often and possibly even bookmark at a much higher rate articles and news stories that back up or reinforce something we already believe or have chosen to believe. So it's a human trait. Everyone does it. The problem is when you find yourself not recognizing that you have been reduced to nothing but that. A better way that I can put this, if you really, honestly have anyone that you know who tells you they do not trust any other news source than Fox News and a couple of conservative blogs, this person is suffering from what scientists call stupidity. And it's something that has invaded like a cancer, the Republican Party. But there's a serious side to this. Why did this happen? And again, is the Democratic Party immune from it? I'll tell you right now, absolutely not. In fact, it's happened before and not as long ago as you'd think. We just got lucky and the Republicans outstupided the Democrats. But that's not the same as being smart. So Democrats, your turn's coming here in a second. This is the extended version of the show. So for Republicans, though, how did this happen? How, obviously, every party has always had its fringe that say things like, I don't trust anybody but Fox News and a few conservative blogs. Or on the left, I don't read anything but Fire Dog Lake and once in a while I watch Chris Hayes on MSNBC. Everybody else is a fucking liar. Everybody knows people like that, and they will all exist in both parties. But if you want to pretend, whether you're listening now as a progressive, as a conservative, a Republican or a Democrat, an independent, a Ron Paul fan, and if you're a Ron Paul fan, this is all going over your head at this point, but keep just pretending, Ricky, just like you did with that presidential campaign. This is something that if you can't deny has been ballooning primarily in the Republican Party of late. And by of late, I mean about 15 years. Possibly 20, maybe 25, possibly 30. I don't know. Sadly, the last intellectually honest Republican to preside in the White House was Richard Nixon. And that says a hell of a lot, doesn't it? This is something the Republican Party, it's too simple to say they've been the victims of their own success, although that is kind of true. It's far more accurate to say the Republican Party has effectively created a reality that makes them look good and makes their policy look effective and makes their hot button wedge issues that keep the religious right opening their wallets for them a national topic. They've been very effective at this. The problem is that when that started to either evolve out from underneath them into, you know, what you saw finally manifest as the Tea Party, but also a religious right that believed they pulled all the strings and then acted as if they did, and Republicans had no choice but to let them. But not only did that evolve out from underneath them, but the electorate changed away from them. The electorate progressed. The electorate said, hey, you know what? Turns out two guys getting married doesn't affect me whatsoever. So even though I was all jazzed up about hating on that in 2004, when George Bush was telling me it'd be the end of America, I've thought about it since then. And sure, I'm maybe still not voting. I'm still maybe voting for Mitt Romney this time around, or maybe I even voted for McCain back in 2008. But I've at least decided that gay marriage is not a threat to my very existence. things like that. As the electorate changed in those ways, as even those conservative-leaning independents started to come to these conclusions, the Republican Party responded much like many failures in life respond, by refusing to change with that and doubling down on trying to push back against that change. The Republican Party acted as if they could literally, just by hammering people over the head with these ideas again, change reality. Now, there was an electoral reason they tried to do this, granted. And they are not the first political party or political organization to try to do this, granted. But they managed to pull it off to an extent that they fooled even themselves. And that is what makes this so unique. They had fooled their own insiders. They had fooled their own candidates. They had fooled their own. Now, sure, there were people in the Republican Party this year that knew Mitt Romney was going to lose in August. There were even smarter people that guessed fairly confidently he was going to lose when asked in June. But they remained silent. Why did they remain silent? Because, well, you know, everyone remains silent when that's the case. But why did they remain silent even internally? Because just like House Republicans like Jason Chaffetz here in Utah didn't have the spine to tell Grover Norquist to shove his pledge where the sun don't shine, just as they signed that pledge out of fear of the headlines that would be in the morning papers if they didn't sign the stupid pledge that they knew was stupid, that was being shoved in their face by a stupid man that they knew was stupid. Just because they were so afraid of that. And where I'm going with all this is the lack of integrity that exists in the Republican Party is what is wrong. And this is the same lack of integrity that at times, to be fair, has existed in the Democratic Party. And again, we're going to get to that a little bit. The Republican Party, though, the lack of integrity, the lack of having, you know, you had people. Really, what pisses me off about the last 4 years is that the politics of the last 4 years from the Republicans, as they've gone further down this teabagger rabbit hole, I find myself increasingly defending Republicans that I think are dangerously wrong on many issues. Orrin Hatch, Dick Lugar, Bob Bennett. These are people who throughout 2000 to 2010-ish, I thought were just at times disgustingly wrong on various issues. But when they started to see attacks like the attacks they saw, I would find myself saying, you know, I don't care for the guy. I'd love to see him lose his election. I'd love to see, Bob Bennett or Orrin Hatch unelected from office. But I don't know if these attacks that you're leveling against anyway. So where I'm getting with all this is the Republican Party in several different ways created a monster. And that monster has been created inside other political parties. But what Republicans did that was different is they had the discipline and they had the lockstep, unspoken agreement from every player for the most part, to enact this to such an exacting degree that they bought into it themselves. They were so confident in the flukiness of Barack Obama in 2008 and the Democratic quote-unquote majority, supermajority that existed for 2 years after that. They were so confident in the flukiness of that. And they were so confident that 2010, on the flip side, was absolutely not a fluke. And they were so confident that this country is center right and that what they were selling also was center right, that they didn't ask some really, really, really easy questions like, do you think it's a bad idea to hate Mexicans? Or do you think transvaginal ultrasound has an unpleasant ring to it? Or, hey, Todd Akin, maybe he's not a great candidate. They didn't ask these questions. They were so confident that Barack Obama had, and you saw this days after the election, Mitt Romney gives a phone interview. And I've heard everyone make all kinds of excuses for this, but and I'll be honest with you, I don't pin this entirely on Romney. Romney's just putting words to what Republicans have believed internally and quietly for years. Mitt Romney said Barack Obama won because he promised gifts to a lot of different groups of constituents. Yeah. Which is dog whistle, for he promised black people free shit and black people voted for him because black people are stupid and fall for that. And we all know that, don't we? Rich white guys, wink, wink. If you want to act like this is something key to Mitt Romney, that Mitt Romney is just some sort of special douchebag, just a little over the top, you're fooling yourselves. This has been the Republican Party for decades, and it's remained behind the scenes, and it's remained unspoken outside of the occasional dog whistle campaign ad or you know, somebody who accidentally says it publicly. It's like it's been like the Illuminati, the secret order of the Republican Party has been the fact that everyone inside the Republican Party knew this is what they really thought, but nobody said it because they are smart enough to realize you would never win elections saying that kind of crap because it disenfranchises and dehumanizes half the country that you really couldn't possibly know this about in the first place that you're saying and believing. They realize that it's probably stupid and reactionary and selfish, their own beliefs. But does anyone at any point say, hey, maybe we're wrong? No. They're so confident that they've nailed it that they just literally convince themselves effectively that it's just something they can't say in public because the Democrats will beat them over the heads with it. That's what they think is the problem. And now in this election, it remains to be seen whether Republicans will learn the lesson, but it's right there in front of them to be learned this time the problem isn't just the Democrats will capitalize on the electoral opportunities during campaign cycles to beat you over the head with stupid things your party sells as policy and your candidates say. That's not the problem. I mean, there's a whole other show we can argue about the what's wrong with the electoral or with the campaigns in America these days. But that's really not the problem, Republicans. What the problem was is that you believed this garbage in the first place and that you nominated as standard bearers of your party people who believed this garbage in the first place. And look at the last, here's the real, for Republicans, then I'll leave you guys alone here for this episode. Look at the last two elections for Republicans. You had a guy who I personally believe, just by watching his 2000 campaign, has some integrity. I think John McCain is probably not a bad guy. I think John McCain, since losing that election, has become one of the most bitter, angry, peepaw screaming at people on his front lawn losers in the United States Senate. But previous to that, I think John McCain is a pretty good guy. I think he had some integrity. I think he meant it when he thought that Bush was running a dirty campaign against him in 2000 in the primaries. And when he bitched about that, I think he meant it. I don't think he was whining because he thought he was going to lose. Remember, at the time, nobody thought he was going to lose that nomination, but he complained about it anyway. I thought that showed some integrity. I think throughout the years, John McCain has occasionally shown a willingness to be what he tried to run as in 2010 or 2008, be a little bit of a maverick and go against his party when common sense seemed to have left the room. And he lost his behind because his party forced him to run a certain way, and I would guess told him it was a great idea to nominate that moron from Alaska. And he lost. Now look at 2012 and try and find a difference. Insane primary where everyone's running so far to the right that people are watching it like they'd watch reality TV shows, i.e. pointing at the TV and going, my God, I can't believe people actually think this crap or live this way. That's so sad and yet strangely entertaining because, I mean, it's that or the car wrecks on True TV for most TV watchers these days. That's the kind of so what's different? Nothing. Now, the nominee. Sure, John McCain. In fact, I'll be honest with you. John McCain was probably a better nominee for the office of president, considering his than Mitt Romney. I mean, considering his history and his experience. But, this year we get Mr. Businessman because somehow that makes a person smart. Right. Denny's and Papa John's. Businessmen are great at connecting dots and understanding things and then saying smart things when the media shoves a camera in their face. Right. Denny's, really. Seriously, it's a little tangent here. I will gladly pay Denny's Obamacare food tax as soon as Denny's starts actually serving food. Same goes for you, Papa John's. No, Papa John's, you're out, honestly, but for a lot of reasons. Anyway, so this year, Mitt Romney, same dynamics. Not an unelectable candidate in ways, possibly, but not really. I mean, he does seem to have a gaffe problem, but that can usually be trained out of a candidate in practicing stump speeches and the like. But so Mitt Romney makes it out of these just disgustingly circus like primaries. And he does so, leaving a bad taste in the mouth of every middle of the road voter that happened to catch or read a headline about one of these primary debates or things said on the stump speech by Ricky, don't Google me Santorum and Newt. What the fuck am I doing here? Gingrich. This is, Mitt Romney survives this heated primary of the Republican Party's cream of the crop. And goes out and campaigns and then, okay, long story short, the closest Mitt Romney came to actually being popular and liked was when he sounded a bit more like a Democrat in that first presidential debate. Now, I think there's a lot that goes into that. I think it was also kind of a negative reaction to the president's total stumble when Barack Obama gives a debate performance like that. I think there may have been some support going to Romney just because everyone was so shocked. That was the debate performance he gave as the president. But still, Romney gets his week's worth of boost in the polls there. And he does it by being Massachusetts governor, middle of the road, mushy, flip-flop, say whatever I have to say. But yeah, but at least I'm saying what you like to hear, Romney. And what he's saying that gives him that boost is pretty centrist and some of it centrist left. At no point, apparently, does this cross any Republican's mind. And you know what happened. So if the Republican Party learns this lesson or not, honestly, if they learn the lesson, I'll be surprised. I would say it takes one more kick in the nuts for the Republican Party before they learn this lesson. I could be wrong, though. But that is the lesson there for them to learn. There is a reality. Right now, it does have a liberal bias, but it's not because reality is inherently biased towards liberals. It's because liberals right now, this is my advice for Republicans. You're letting liberals get away with looking better than you just by telling the truth because you're so full of shit. And you can't blame anyone but yourselves for that. So there's my advice for Republicans. All of this, again, just a quick refresher, comes from a new tool that I hope all of you will use during your Thanksgiving holidays with your families when you run into that Republican relative of yours that just sees that look on your face and interprets it not as I ate too much, but as, ooh, that person wants to hear my political ramblings from the latest chain emails I received from the Tea Party group I signed up with when Glenn Beck was still on TV. This tool is called Lazy Truth, and you can basically it will search the subject lines of your email and tell you whether that email has even passed nearby truth at any point. So recommend this to your relatives. And then, if you really want to be an ass about it, follow up. Call them a week after Thanksgiving and say, hey, did you use that Lazy Truth thing? How many of those chain emails that you get your news from, how many of those ended up being true? And see if they hang up on you. At the very least, they don't try and talk to you a year from now at Thanksgiving, right? So win-win. So, all right, it wouldn't be this show if I spent this much time going after the Republicans and didn't save a little bit of the vitriol for the I'm not there's no vitriol here, people. This is I've got to confess a little bit, despite my partisan tone and despite my firm belief that right now progressive Democrats have closer nailed the better future for our country. I am well versed enough in history to know that these things change, parties change and evolve, and this eradication talk, we all fall into it. And it rings. It's great on a blog. And in fact, when you've got to post something just really quick to get a point across, you know, it's actually hard to avoid using eradicating speech, i.e., you know, things that imply Republicans should never win elections again because they're all evil and blah, blah, blah. We all do that. But the reality is a healthy to. And in fact, here, if you live here in Utah, you know this probably more than anyone else in the Western United States right now. That a healthy two-party system is important and is a better way to go about governance because there is. I mean, sure, you get that 4 years of the other side winning and it makes you mad, or 2 years in the House, 6 years in the Senate, and it makes you mad when your guy loses and you hate everything the guy says for the next 6 years and all of that. I get it. It's part of it. It's tribal politics, and we're all, you know, game for that kind of thing. But at the same time, the challenges, and here's the way I can put it for Democrats now. We will be a better party. The Democratic Party will be a better party if the Republicans start throwing real challenges at us again. Because we'll get lazy. One of the examples, and this is what I want to talk about when it comes to the Democrats. And no, I'm not talking statewide Democrats. Statewide Democrats, I got one word for you. Five Senate Democrats. Perhaps it's time to pull your heads out of just Salt Lake County. I get it, Salt Lake County, that's where it's all at for Democrats in Utah. But until you realize there are other counties out there, and start taking advantage of some of these opportunities that existed this year in other counties out there, you're going to remain a five Senate Democrat party, and that's laughable. So that's all I have to say for the state Republicans right now, or state Democrats right now. Very disappointed, guys. Very, very tisk, tisk. I'm looking down my nose at you right now. And yes, before anyone tries to say, I did get in and get my hands dirty and tried to help outside of Salt Lake County. So, Democrats, what's wrong with you right now? Well, I mean, not as much. That's good. But here's the point I would like to make for Democrats. And while you're out shoving lazy truth, the lazy truth button plugin for Google Chrome extension down your Republican relatives who shove their politics in your faces, noses. Here's something you throw out there for Democrats. When Democrats get a little hoity-toity, maybe, if you get some relatives who are Democrats, and during the Thanksgiving festivities, they get a little hoity-toity about winning the election and how popular Barack Obama is, which, I mean, to be honest with you, very popular. Looks like he's going to win when all is said and done, all votes counted. The vote total for him is going to be the largest of any two-term president in history. That's nice. I like it. And I also disagree with many of the progressive left who think he's been an abject failure. I think that some of those people refuse to acknowledge that there is a political reality that exists at all times, especially when it comes to legislation. Yes, Barack Obama could have done a lot more to get votes, but he couldn't have been God in the legislative process. He couldn't have just determined how many votes he was going to get for this and that. Yes, I agree with critics coming from the left who say Barack Obama has had a problem of starting the negotiations in the middle and then moving to the right to get the votes. Absolutely, he's done that. And those are lessons that hopefully don't repeat or have to be repeated in the next 4 years. But has Barack Obama been a failure? Absolutely not. And to list the things, it would be easy. And you all know that. But the Democratic Party, are we in a position where, because we won this election, and again, I'm not talking about here in Utah, That's a whole other show. I'm talking about the Democratic Party at large, our brand, what we sold in this election, what we won on in this election. Are we in a position to be patting ourselves on the back, as I saw a couple of left-leaning pundits doing over the weekend, and saying to ourselves, we own that populist message and America came through for us. They responded. They gave us their votes. Yes, of course they gave us their votes. But how much of that was happening because the Republican Party was in the state they're in? And how much of that was happening because they actually believed you, Democrats, on this populist message? Because here's the problem with the Democratic Party. And actually, this does tie into a Utah a little bit. Here in Utah, there's a saying among who I believe are the smarter political consultants that give campaigns and candidates advice. There's a saying that goes something along the lines of this. You're going to get beat over the head for abortion and gay rights anyway. So either talk about something else and nod when those topics come up, or just own it. Because really, you're going to get beat over the head with it anyway. If you run away from it, you just piss off your base and they stay home because they're already pretty deflated. So now that translates a little bit to the national level. Democrats, for example, unions. Democrats at the national level and every congressional and Senate race on the federal race that will happen throughout the country in the next generation. Democrats, if unions are unpopular, Democrats will own unions. If unions are popular, Democrats will voluntarily own unions. But you see that what I'm getting at here, and this is just one example, and this is by no means a kick in the shins towards unions. What I'm saying here is that if the electorate has been convinced by the Republicans that unions are unpopular, Democrats will own that unpopularity. If the electorate has wisened up to the Republicans' ploys and decided again that unions are popular, then Democrats will own that popularity. But you see the consistent here. No matter what, Democrats own the public attitude towards unions. The Democrats have been for a generation now, and probably a generation coming, the party of the union. That's something to be proud of. What isn't to be proud of is a legislative track record and even a track record in the White House that doesn't scream exactly pro-union. And it's ridiculous. What do you gain, Democrats, using just this one example? What do you gain? And there are many, many more from gay rights that... Think about the Democratic Party in 2004 on gay marriage and the Democratic Party in 2012 on gay marriage. And really, it's polar opposites. In 2004, Democrats were running away from gay marriage. In 2012, they ran on gay marriage. That's an electorate shift that was going to happen, granted. But Democrats did nothing to push this along. And yet in every single campaign from state legislature to United States Senate that happened between 2004 and 2012, Democrats owned gay marriage. So why not at least be the party that gave the gay voters what they wanted? And I'm not talking about a Mitt Romney gift. I'm talking about that is something that is the right thing to do anyway. If you know you're going to get beat over the head, and I know this is a cynical take. We would all like to say, if the Democratic Party owns gay marriage, it's because as a party, we decided it was the noble thing to do. And we want to have integrity. We want to represent, the better world. So that's why we are. But we all know the cynical reality is the parties get behind what is advantageous for them in the election. It's innate in parties. There's nothing wrong with it. Pearl clutching about it won't change it and is just a huge waste of time. Accept it. And don't let it make you cynical, because believe me, candidates can still get very personal about these issues. Candidates can still display that integrity you're looking for. I'm only talking about the parties here. So the party has embraced gay marriage because it is now electorally advantageous to do so. But now look at some of the mistakes that have been made. The party has not fully re-embraced and fought for unions. We will not. I make a prediction right now, and this pains me to say, and it's disgusting, really, to say. But I would predict that we do not see the EFCA. Do you remember that card check for unions? I would predict we don't see that come back in the next 4 years. And do you know how ridiculous that is? The most basic common sense protection of employees' rights to unionize and collectively bargain against possible behind the scenes discrimination and discouragement from their corporate CEO or corporate structure. The most basic protection of that Democrats cannot even get behind. And how does this gain them any advantage in an election? Because they're still going to be the party of unions, right? So why not just do what's right for the unions and also what happens to be right for the country and get behind it? Yeah. So you see what I'm trying to say here? This is that It's the strangest thing that I've seen from the Democratic Party for the, probably the last. It's like they're it's like battered spouse syndrome to an extent. The Bush years were so ugly. They were so just, you know, it was just so painful for Democrats to experience the Bush years. And I get why. But that was such a painful, you know, abusive experience for them that they're still a little shy. They're still a little, you know, flighty. They still duck at shadows and they still run away from legislative battles. And they're still, you know, explaining. Yeah. Over explaining. And this is Democrats. This is what this election is great. I Barack Obama deserved a second term. But almost more inspiring than that for me, and I think for a lot of Democrats, and this is why the Democratic Party needs to wake up on this one, because there are so many of us out there that feel this way, but almost more inspiring than my personal belief Barack Obama deserved a second term was this personal conviction inside of me that the worst thing that could happen to this country right now is if an election reinforced the complete batshit insanity that's been coming from the Republican Party for 4 years. That was almost more important to me than anything I personally felt or believed about Barack Obama, which I feel and believe all good things. But that's the lesson. I think I'm not alone in that. I think I am actually probably part of a majority inside the Democratic Party in that feeling. And that's the mistake the Democrats are making right now as a party. And again, individual candidates don't make this mistake every time. I don't think Barack Obama himself makes this mistake. Despite all of his obsession with being practical and nonpartisan, which hopefully that just goes away. But this, you know, it's still there. And I'm not saying this, the Democratic Party at large, every single member of it and voter for it is bereft of any such conviction. No, what I'm saying is the party as an apparatus, the Democratic Party of the United States as an apparatus is missing this boat and yet still paying the electoral costs for many of these issues. Now, you can't get out from underneath the electoral costs. If the electorate is all down on the unions in a certain election cycle, Democrats, that's disadvantage you, period. But what you're not doing, so that's just the reality. That works. That those rules are for Democrats and Republicans alike, except Republicans have even found a way to bullshit voters on that and not even take accountability for things they are entirely responsible for, like financial crises and housing crises and unfunded wars. And yeah, that's an amazing part of the Republican Party is their mechanisms for not taking responsibility while constantly harping on personal responsibility. But back to the Democrats, you're paying the electoral price for any negatives that might exist for you in any election cycle. Again, as a really just oversimplified low hanging fruit example using unions here, if the electorate is in the mood to be anti-union Democrats, that's just disadvantage you in the election. Now you can beat it. You do every time in some way or another, but you're paying that price. And that's a fact. If the electorate, here's the flip side and here's the missed opportunity. If the electorate is of the, for whatever reason, decidedly pro-union mood in an election cycle, Democrats can't capitalize on that. Like they don't know how. And one of the reasons for that is the Democratic Party, despite being miles ahead of the Republican Party right now, and despite being far and away the party with the highest level of integrity in the American political system right now, despite those facts and despite the fact that Democrats have not lost themselves in a bullshit bubble like we just talked about with Republicans, despite that, the Democratic Party lacks definition. Now, for Utah Democrats, this will be a very familiar concept because you've held your nose and voted for these Democratic candidates left and right, only to watch them lose to a Republican that was worse, but sadly, sometimes barely worse than the Democrat you had to vote for. You're used to this in Utah, and you are familiar with this idea of not being able to say that your party stands for any one thing other than running out every 2 years and saying, we're different than Republicans. We hope that matters to you this time. But the National Democratic Party has done something very similar. In Utah, it's there are a lot of causes for it. And some of it is just accepting the reality that Utah is nowhere near a purple state and won't be for quite a while. Nationally, you know, the politics go back and forth so often. Why have we seen Democrats so often not be able to capitalize on the boosts they can get from their own base, from the definition they could get from their picking their own policy battles? Why have Democrats run away from that? Again, I think it's a little bit of a shell shock syndrome from the Bush years. But I think before that, it was also a little bit of shell shock syndrome and some self-delusion that hung on after the Reagan years. I think the biggest problem the Democratic Party has had in the last 25 to 30 years is that lack of definition. Who are we? What do we stand for? And I know the ideas are out there. I know Elizabeth Warren and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is a great example of what the Democratic Party stands for. Transportation and investment in infrastructure at large is a great example of what the Democratic Party stands for. But do we stand for these in such a way that they are owned by the Democratic Party? Not so much anymore. And there's two risks to that. The lesser risk is the Republicans steal it from you. Republicans come out in 2014 and say, psh, we're the Union Party now. And you can't fight them back because you've run away from unions so much. That's it. Probably not going to happen, but there's a risk. The biggest risk and the most likely damaging factor to the Democratic Party is just lack of our own identity. And I don't mean identity in the identity politics we've seen from the Republicans since, you know, Barack Obama's election in 2008. But it goes way back before then. I'm talking about the identity in that we know who we are as a party, and we know what we fight for as a party. And to some extent, we set the stage to falling into the same trap the Republicans just have. And there's your context for you. The Republicans just hit the end of that cycle. Their discipline was too good. Their identity and definition too solid and unchanging. And the electorate changed out from underneath them, and they were too entrenched to see it. That would be the risk for the Democrats. But maybe we don't have to take it there. Maybe we can infuse some of this definition and identity into our party. Maybe we can infuse a little bit or a healthy mix of discipline and identity in our legislative battles, where you aren't worried about Max Baucus screwing everything up because he decides that he's going to act like a Max Baucus and screw everything up. we have enough discipline that Harry Reid can get votes, 60 of them if he has to. Or even a better example, a rules change to bring back the real filibuster so that 60 isn't even a threshold anymore, as it should be in the Senate. He can't even count on his own caucus and a couple of independents to hand him that. And the Senate majority leader should be able to count on that in at least 9 out of 10 legislative battles. Democrats, we have a problem here. And I think it stems back to our identity, and it stems back to our concept of self as a party and as a movement. And part of that is there's a transition going on here. The old school New Democrat liberals of the 90s have butted heads with the more activist and outspoken and energetic, if you will, progressive Democrats of the 2000s. And now here in the early 2010s, it's still forming. The cement's still drying. And I have hope. But I really hope that this is factored in. This lack of identity, this lack of discipline, this lack of definition is damaging. And we get lucky. 2008, we deserved that win. 2010, Republicans got lucky. I think in 2012, Democrats got lucky. And that shouldn't be good enough for us. And the fact that we got lucky and won, that's not exactly fair. I don't think Barack Obama was that vulnerable, period. But it was closer than it needed to be. How about that? And the fact that it was closer than it needed to be when our opponent is this iteration of the Republican Party and Mittens as their nominee, this should have been a blowout. And it wasn't. It was pretty decent. 3+% in the popular vote. Highest vote share of any re-incumbent Democrat or incumbent president being reelected in history. And a fully embarrassed and chastened Republican Party. Yeah, that's a win. I'm not trying to undermine that. But the fact that it wasn't a 10-point lead over this iteration of the Republican Party should scare Democrats, really. It doesn't happen in presidential politics anymore. I know that. But at some point, there should have at least been a 30-day cycle in this election where Democrats were just pounding Republicans. Because this iteration of the Republican Party is batshit insane. And Democrats, the fact that you are struggling so hard to beat these guys as often as you are, that should scare you. And I think it all ties back to that lack of identity, lack of discipline, something the Republicans have over-succeeded at this point. Democrats have underwhelmed on these types of issues. So here's to hoping that is a part of the future for the Democratic Party. Here's to hoping that the progressive Democrats who replace the apologistic blue dog Democrats and new Democrats of the 90s. Yes, I know Jim Mathis is still there, but there's like, what, 7 blue dogs now? They're not a thing. So, Jim, find a new club. But hopefully these progressive Democrats that have replaced the new Democrats, the demise of the DLC and replaced with the DNC, the Howard Dean era, if you will, that gave rise to the movement that propelled Barack Obama to the presidency and then helped him stay in that office for another 4 years here. Hopefully that solidifies a bit inside the Democratic Party and brings with it a reminder of being the party of FDR. A reminder of being the party that was proud, not apologetic, to back up unionization and collective bargaining. A party that was proud to fight for equality for everybody. A party that was proud to have a foreign policy that didn't consist entirely of bomb them and they took their jobs. This is kind of, it's been blurred, and the Democratic Party is having a bit of an identity crisis, and we have been since 2006. Well, we have been since 2002. But 2006 is when it really came to a head and we got some power back and didn't know what to do with it. And it hasn't changed much since then, despite the popularity of Barack Obama and despite the electoral successes. It's still Democratic Party still in a spot of redefinition that has gone on a little longer than it probably needs to. So we need to figure out who we are, and we need to start selling that like Republicans did for 30 years. And we need to start defining this narrative a little more ourselves so that we're not talking about everything where everyone seems to agree right off the bat that tax cuts are the answer. Now, just how should those tax cuts be designed? That's the way we're having the conversation. Now, we need to get this to the point where we're having the conversation where we're saying, you know what? Sometimes, Mr. Republican, tax cuts aren't the answer. Sometimes protecting the middle class is the answer. Sometimes reinvesting in our own sewer system and bridge system and transportation system and electrical grid and broadband network. Sometimes spending some money on that kind of stuff could be a good idea. Tax cuts don't answer everything. We could be having the conversation that way. We could have Republicans on the legislative front defensive, whether they just won an election or not. And we've passed on that opportunity. Again, Republicans took it too far and they paid the price for it finally in 2012. I'm not saying the Democrats have to, but even if they do, let's get that cycle started now. I don't think it has to go as far as the Republicans took it. But even if that's the case, we've at least got to play the loop game, right? Right now, just kind of sitting on the sidelines going, I kind of believe this. I don't know. And that's not going to. It's not going to buy. You're not going to have a Barack Obama every time. You're not going to have the next candidate for the Democratic Party could be a really boring, just like everybody else on C-SPAN, governor, senator, whatever, that doesn't excite anybody. It could be Hillary Clinton. that could excite some people, but hey, you see where I'm going with all of this. And to bring it back home again, this is, the Thanksgiving special extended edition of Batshit Crazy, as the rest of the guys take the week off for the holiday. And I want to bring this home again to where it all started, which was the industry and profession of fact-checking that has been singularly created by the Republican Party in the last 4 years with all of their BS. And the new tool announced for Google Chrome users, the Lazy Truth, which allows you, as you're reading your email, to click a button and it will compare the subject of the email you're looking at with their own fact-checking database and tell you whether it is more BS being forwarded around by reactionary Republicans and social conservatives. So, useful tool, but it all is kind of serving as an umbrella for a larger conversation here that is an important one that I think, holidays, good time to reflect, and post-election season, absolutely a good time to reflect whether you won or lost locally or nationally, whether your guy won or lost. And this is what I think we should reflect on. This Republican Party literally has created an industry out of people Googling things they say and saying, that's not true. And we as Democrats in far too many races throughout the country this year had a tough time beating those people. That isn't a good thing. So make use of the tool. Make use of the conversations with your family to point out that there is a reality and it's not our fault. It has a liberal bias right now. We didn't leave it. Republicans did. And remind them of that. Start changing the narrative yourself. There's your holiday message from everyone at The Left Show. I'm Jason Williams, and this has been an extended holiday edition of Batshit Crazy. I will be back next week with more of what you've come to expect and hopefully respect from this show, which is poking fun at the crazy things Republicans say on the tubes and the TVs and the radios. And, well, wish you all a happy holidays and, well, good luck to you with your Republican relatives. I will see you next week.